Well, I'm very happy to be here, and I'm very happy to have such liberty as has been given to me right at this very moment, that I'm supposed to stop when I wish. I wonder if my wife heard that, did you? Huh? Well, excuse me, it was a great joy indeed to be with you this morning at the Breaking of Bread service. See so many here with the desire to remember the Lord Jesus in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup. Should always remember that this is in his own appointed way, because it was on the night in which he was betrayed that he took the bread, and he blessed it, he gave thanks for it, and likewise the cup, and he gave to us this memorial feast, and we are to keep it according to his word. We're to keep it until he comes back again. Now, he hasn't come yet, but you know the Lord's people have been meeting together for centuries now to remember him in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup. And as we said this morning, we believe that it's not going to be very long until he comes back again. Then we won't need the bread. We won't need the wine. We'll have himself. This is just a memorial feast until he comes back again. And he is coming. He's promised to come, and he will come. He must keep his promise. He must keep his promise. He kept all the promises all the way from the beginning of the scriptures, right down until this very day. And we know that he's going to keep this promise also, that he's going to come back again and receive us unto himself. This morning I would like to speak on, I believe, one of the most important, if not the most important, subject of the Bible. The most important subject in the Bible. Now, I wonder if anybody could tell me, really, what that subject is. The most important subject in the Bible. You know, we don't sometimes treat it as such. But actually, it is the most important subject in the Bible. And that is the subject of worship. And I would like to speak this morning on worship. It was wonderful this morning to hear different ones stand to their feet and worship. Give thanks to God for giving his Son to die for us upon the cross. And you know, that's what God wants to hear. That's what God wants to hear. He wants to hear the adoration and the praises of his people. When the Lord Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, the next thing we see is Lazarus sitting at the table with him. And that's where the Lord would have everyone redeemed by his precious blood. That's where he would have them be, at the table. That's their place at the table, to worship him and to praise him for what he has done for us. Now, the first scripture that I would like you to look at would be John chapter 4, reading from verse 21. Jesus said unto her, that's the woman at the well, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to serve him. Well, I wonder if anyone notice that I made a change in the last part of that verse. Huh? It says here that the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Not to serve Him, but to worship Him. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. You see, it's very important. Worship always comes first. And we always should remember this, that if God gets me as a worshiper, He'll get me as a servant. He'll have me as a servant. If He gets me as a worshiper, if I'm a worshiper of God, a worshiper of His Son, the Lord Jesus, then He will have me as a servant. And I'd like to emphasize this again. The Lord Jesus saved. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. The Father seeketh worshipers. He didn't say the Father seeketh servants, as I read it in the first case. He says, the Father seeketh worshipers. Do you know, my dear friend, this morning, let me say this, that that's what the devil sought also. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And I think it's verse 7. Matthew 4 and 7. Jesus said unto him, unto Satan, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now, he didn't say, if you fall down and serve me. He says, if you fall down and worship me. The devil knew that if the Lord Jesus would fall down and worship him, he could tell him where to go to serve. He had him then under his own power. So he said, fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now, what is worship? What is worship? Well, worship is bringing the first fruits, or bringing our praises to God. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. That's what God desires. Satan, you know, wanted worship. He wanted the Lord Jesus to fall down and worship Him. That's the highest order of service that we can render to God. And Satan desired it. Satan wanted it. And you and I should be deeply concerned about our worship. Whether we are a worshiper or not. Whether we have really entered into what it means to worship. To bring to God the fruit of our lips, our thanksgiving to Him. And that's what God desires. God desires more than anything else. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Look at Luke 17. Luke 17. Luke chapter 17, and we'll read in verse 12. The Lord Jesus, He entered into a certain village. There met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, for he was as he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returneth to give glory to God, save this stranger. Ten lepers were cleansed. And the Lord Jesus expected the 10 lepers to come back to him and to give him thanks when they saw that they were healed. He told them to go to the priest. But you know, they saw them that they were healed themselves. They saw that the word of the Lord Jesus had taken effect in their lives. And when they saw that they were healed, one returned to give him thanks. One returned to worship him. I would like to ask you, dear child of God, this morning, as I had asked my own heart, I wonder if that perhaps is the ratio. 1 out of 10 that really enters into the truth of what it is to worship. One, a Samaritan, he wasn't even a Jew. He returned to give the Lord thanks. He knew who had cleansed him. He knew who should receive the worship and the praise. And he returned to the Lord Jesus, and he fell down before him, and he glorified him in praising him and in worshiping him. God wants us to be a thankful people, a worshiping people. Harry Ironside says that he thinks he knows where the other 9 were. I don't know whether you have any idea at all where they were. Where were the 9? That's what the Lord Jesus asked. He says, Where are the 9? He expected them all to come. And you know, the Lord Jesus expects every one of us to come into his presence to worship. Especially in his own appointed way. Especially at the Lord's table on a Sunday morning, because that's where we come to have collective worship. That's where we come into his presence to worship him. And to remember him in the breaking of the bread and in the drinking of the cup. Our place is at the table. Our place, our responsibility is there, to sit at the table with the one who has redeemed us and washed us from our sins in his own most precious blood. And Harry Ironside says he thinks he knew where they were. And I would almost agree with Harry that he was right. He said he thinks that they were down the way, down the road, and they were singing at the very top of their voices, Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. They were down the road, and they were counting their blessings. Counting their blessings. You know, dear child of God, this morning, let me say that you and I, we get taken up with our blessings so very, very much. And we forget the blesser. Taken up with our blessings. How easy it is to be taken up with our blessings. Even when we come together on the breaking of bread, even when we come together to remember the Lord Jesus, we sometimes are taken up with our blessings. And you hear some of the saints giving thanks for all the blessings that God has bestowed upon them. Well, that's very wonderful. But oh, I tell you, we really get into the presence of God when we come before him and worship the Blesser. Worship the Lord Jesus. I would like to just remind our hearts this morning that that's what God wants from each one of us. He wants worship. He wants us to be taken up with His own dear Son, the Lord Jesus. That's why Peter wrote, and Peter went in and out with the Lord Jesus for 3.5 years. And when he wrote his second epistle, when he finished up his second epistle, he writes these words, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. And I'm going to say this, that we'll never be a worshiper if we have not grown in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ makes us a worshiper. Because the more we get to know about our Lord Jesus Christ, the more we love Him. And the more we will worship Him, the more we get to know of Him. We could go back this morning, but not this very moment. We're not going to ask you to turn to it. We could go back to the Song of Solomon. And when the bride was asked this question, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? What is thy beloved more than another beloved? That question was put to her. And do you know what she did? She started at his very head. And she described her beloved, went right down to his feet. And then when she could not say any more about him, as to his beauty, she said, he's altogether lovely. He's beyond description. And he's still beyond description. The Lord Jesus is beyond our description. But you know, it's wonderful to go into the presence of God and to tell God about His Son. Or you say, doesn't God want to know all about His Son? Yes, but He wants you and He wants me to tell Him about His Son. He enjoys it. He enjoys it. What a wonderful occupation. Just to go into the presence of God and to tell God about His Son. Let's look back. I believe you're studying in the book of Leviticus. I was supposed to bring some books, Leviticus this morning. I went over yesterday to get them and I found out that I just couldn't find the books. And I could see a lot of them there that said, less the cover, less the cover. Well, I should have brought them anyhow. But we're going to send them to you just as soon as we get back. Now let's look at the 7th chapter of the book of Leviticus. Leviticus 7. The 29th verse, the 28th verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, he that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offering unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hand shall bring the offering of the Lord made by fire. The fat with the breast, it shall he bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. And the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. And the right shoulder shall ye give unto the priest for a heave offering of the sacrifice of your peace offerings. He among the sons of Aaron that offereth the blood of the peace offering and the fat shall have the right shoulder for his part. For the wave breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offerings. and have given them unto Aaron the priest, and unto his sons by a statute forever from among the children of Israel. Now the peace offering, what a wonderful thing it is that we have Christ as our peace offering. He is our peace, the word says. He is our peace. The Lord Jesus Christ is our peace, who has broken down the middle wall of partition. The peace offering. We know that there are five offerings. We have the burnt offering, and that is all for God. The burnt offering was to be offered upon the altar. And only God can fully appreciate all the virtues of His own dear Son. That's why the burnt offering was all for God. Then the next offering was the meal offering, or the meat offering. And that we have God coming out and saying to the sinner, He's coming out and saying to you and to me, eat, O friends, eat. There's enough in Him to satisfy your longing heart. That's the meat offering. And then we have the peace offering, of which we have read a little this morning. The peace offering. And the word tells us here that those among the sons of Aaron, the 33rd verse, that offereth the blood of the peace offering and the fat. Now the fat was all for God. The fat was not to be eaten. The fat was always to be offered upon the altar as a sweet incense that arose to God. The fat belonged to Him. And the blood, of course, was poured out on our behalf. So he that offereth the blood of the peace offering and the fat, this is their portion. Look at that verse there, the 33rd verse. Shall have the right shoulder for his part. For the waved breast and the heaved shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offering, and have given them unto Aaron the priest, and unto his sons by a statute forever from among the children of Israel. We can thank God today for the fat. The fat that speaks to us of a satisfied God. The fat was to be offered to God. And the very first thing that we can rejoice about this morning is this, that God is satisfied with the work that Christ accomplished on the cross. The fat was to be burned upon the altar and went up as a sweet incense unto God. And we can thank God today that God is satisfied with the work that Christ accomplished for you and for me. And I can say this today, that I am satisfied as well. I'm satisfied with the work that Christ accomplished upon the cross. And the first reason is this, that God is satisfied. And that now God can be just, and the justifier of everyone that will believe in His name, will believe in the name of His own dear Son. God is satisfied on the throne today. And I am satisfied as well. And we can praise God for that. That when Christ died on the cross, there was a sacrifice offered that was absolutely to God's satisfaction. God can ask no more. Because not a mite that was left unpaid when He my judgment bore. The fat belonged to God. And the blood sprinkled upon the altar speaks peace for you and for me. It is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. It's the precious blood. We sometimes sing, and well indeed. Oh, the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it cleanses from all sin. Many today are trying to get rid of the blood. In fact, I think it was in last night's paper, in the Augusta Chronicle, the Augusta Herald. The question was asked Billy Graham, why is the blood so important? Why is the blood so important? Why so much said about the blood? And he gave a very lovely answer. He pointed out that it was the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. The blood speaks of death, and the death of the Lord Jesus was for the sinner. And all who would put their trust in the Lord Jesus would have sins forgiven. What a wonderful thing it is to have sins forgiven. I remember the time when I used to go to bed at night, troubled about my sin. Troubled about my sin. If I should die tonight, where would my soul be? And many times I pictured myself in a lost eternity. Many times I pictured myself in the blackness of darkness forever. But thank God today, I know the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed me from all my sins. And now it tells us here that the blood, the blood and the fat, the blood cleanses from our sins, the fat belongs to God, but now the portion that God says the offerer is to have was the right shoulder and the wave breast. The right shoulder and the wave breast. That was the portion that was to be given to the sons of the priests and to the priests as a statue forever. The shoulder and the breast. What does the breast speak of? What does the breast speak of? The breast speaks of love. The breast always speaks of love. Even a baby knows that. Even a baby knows complete satisfaction because it leans upon the breast of the mother. And the breast speaks of love. The little baby recognizes the love of the mother. And you know, the breast speaks of love. We sometimes sing, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. And if you notice in this portion of Scripture, his own hands, the offerer, his own hands shall bring the offering of the Lord made by fire. The fat with the breast, it shall he bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. And you know, this is a beautiful picture of worship. A lovely picture of worship. I think one of the sweetest pictures of worship in the whole Bible. Here we come into the presence of the Lord. The offerer was supposed to take the breast and wave that breast before the Lord when he came into the presence of the Lord. He waved the breast before the Lord. And the breast speaks of love. And when we come into the presence of God to worship his own dear Son, what do we tell God about? We tell God about his love. His love. The love wherewith he has loved us. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is this morning to know that God did not withhold his Son from us. God did not withhold his Son from us. The very dearest that he had, the very nearest to him, the one in whom were all his delights throughout the countless ages of eternity, we hear God say, this will I do. I will give my Son. I will give my Son. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. When we come into the presence of God to worship him, we take Christ in our hands. As it were, we take Christ in our hands and we wave him before the Father. And we say to the Father, indeed, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank God for his love. Thank God that he did not withhold his Son from us, but he gave him to the cruel death of the cross, and upon the cross he died that we might live. The wave breast Oh, I tell you, when we come together on a Sunday morning, we hear so many of the dear children of God waving before God the wave breast, thanking God for His love. Thanking God for the love wherewith He has loved them. Many times we hear them say, "Why didst thou love us so? Why didst thou love us so? To give heaven's very best, that we might be brought nigh to thee." Yes, we wave the wave breast. That's a picture of worship. And then there's the heave shoulder. And the heave shoulder, the right shoulder, speaks of strength. The heave shoulder. And when the heave shoulder was taken and waved in an up and down position, direction, like that, before the Lord, it speaks of His strength. Speaks of His power. The heave shoulder. You know, I might love somebody very, very dearly. I might love them very dearly. And if they were in jeopardy, I wouldn't have the strength to deliver them. But thank God the portion that was given to the priest was this. The heave shoulder and the wave breast. The wave breast speaking of His love. The love of God. And the heave shoulder speaking of His power. Christ had power to save. To as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in His name. You know, Satan said, if I can get Christ into death, I can keep him there because I've got the keys of death and hell. I can keep him in death. And he put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray the Lord Jesus. Because he felt that if he could get the Lord Jesus into death, he could keep him there. But I tell you this, he didn't keep him there. The Lord Jesus Christ went down into the strong man's territory. He went down into death. He went down into the place of death. And up from the grave he arose. With a mighty triumph over his foes, he arose. He came forth. He defeated him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's what our Lord Jesus did when he went down into death. Death could not keep him. Satan could not hold him. He came up again out of death, triumphed over death and hell. And today he sits at God's right hand. He's there to appear in the presence of God for us. He's there as our great high priest. He's there as our advocate with the Father. Thank God today for the breast. Thank God for the breast. Thank God we can wave the breast in the presence of God. It speaks of the love of Christ and rejoice in His everlasting love. And we can thank God for the power to save. For the power that delivered us from such a death. From such a great death. And came forth again to deliver His people. To those who would believe on Him. Came forth out of death. And someday, because that He lives, we shall live also. Because He lives, He's going to present us before the Father without a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing. What a wonderful picture we have here of worship. The wave breast and the heave shoulder. I want you to look also this morning at 26th chapter. The 26th chapter of Deuteronomy. And see in I have got permission to go to 1 o'clock if I wish. This is a lovely chapter to dig into. The 26th chapter of Deuteronomy. Let's read a few of these verses together. This is another lovely illustration of worship. And it shall be when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possesseth it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land, that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto a country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand, and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation mighty, great and mighty, and prosperous, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us, and afflicted us, and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord, God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice, and looked on our affliction, and our labor, and on our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, and with signs and with wonders. And he hath brought us into this place, and hath given us this land, even the land that floweth with milk and honey. And now, look at that little word, look at those two little words there. And now, because of what God had done for them in bringing them up into this land, the land that was flowing with milk and honey, the land of deliverance, the land away from Egypt, the Egyptians had been left behind. And now they were brought into the land, and God was blessing them in this land. Now, he says, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee, and unto thine house, thou and the Levite, and the stranger that is among you. Here's another lovely picture of worship. The children of Israel brought into the land of Egypt, brought into the land of flowing with milk and honey, out of Egypt, into the promised land. And now, what were they to do? God wanted the worship of their hearts. God wanted the first fruits. The first fruits. And I think I can see the children of Israel in that land of promise. And one day he puts his basket on his arm and he goes out. And you ask him what he's going to do. What are you doing? I'm going out to gather the first fruits. The first fruits, they have become ripe. And the first fruits, they tell me they are the best. And I think I can see the children of Israel, going up and picking their first fruits, the best of the land, and putting it in a basket. And then they bring it to the priest. They set it down beside the altar. And the priest offers it to God, the basket of first fruits, offers it to God. And then after it is offered to God, it becomes the food for the priest. No, dear child of God, this morning, this lays me low before my blessed Lord. This lays me low before the one who died for me upon the cross. This lays me low before my great deliverer. The basket of first fruits, offered unto the Lord, and then becomes the food for the priest. Do you not hear the Lord Jesus saying this morning, concerning the woman at the well, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. The disciples had gone into the city to buy food, to buy bread. The Lord Jesus, talking to that woman at the well about worship, he says to her, he says to the disciples concerning her, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. He was feasting upon that poor woman who had found the water of life, who had taken from his blessed hands the water that gave to her a satisfaction that she had never had before. He says, now he says, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. As we see the Lord Jesus Christ at God's right hand, I think we can hear him say as we come together to worship, I have meat to eat. I have meat to eat that the world knows nothing about. I have meat to eat. And he feeds upon the praises of his people. To me, dear child of God, this brings me down before him. That the very God of heaven, the very Christ of God, in the glory above, feeds upon the praises that I give to him. They brought their first fruits in a basket, and you and I come together on a Sunday morning with our baskets of first fruits. Our hearts filled, because the heart is the basket, our hearts filled with love for Christ, and then to think that the Spirit of God touches the hearts of one, touches the hearts of another, touches the hearts of another, and there comes forth a song of praise that arises a sweet incense to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Father seeketh worshippers. The Father seeketh worshippers. Dear child of God today, are you a worshiper? Am I a worshiper? Do I delight the heart of the Son of God in the glory above, in bringing my praises, my adoration, in obeying him day by day in that which he has asked me to do? Does he get the satisfaction from me that he would desire to have? We hear him say concerning his going to the cross, was for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And I believe when we come together to worship him on the Sunday morning, to break the bread and to drink the cup in memory of himself, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ can say, I see of the travail of my soul, and I'm satisfied. In other words, he's saying, I'm glad I went to the cross. I'm glad I suffered. I'm glad I shed my blood upon the cross. The redeemed of the Lord have gathered together. And from this earth, this poor sinful world, there comes from the hearts of the believers, those whom he has redeemed, a song that gratifies his loving heart. The Father seeketh such to worship him. Well, we could go much farther. We could go to other scriptures. I'm not going to keep you to 1 o'clock. You can just think of what we have been talking about this morning. Get into the presence of God. And say in the presence of God, when I come together on the Lord's Day morning, is my basket full? Do I have in my basket that in which he delights is my basket full as I come to the altar on the first day of the week is my basket full. I'm afraid sometimes we come with an empty basket, don't we? I'm afraid sometimes we bring an empty basket. I'm afraid sometimes we come and, you know, we pick up the hymn book and we start trying, looking through the hymn book for something, a number to give out. And we haven't, through the week, we haven't been out, as it were, in the fields. We haven't been out picking the first fruits. Picking the precious thoughts about Christ and putting them in our hearts so the Spirit of God can touch our hearts when we come together to worship. That the Lord Jesus might receive his portion from his people when we come together. The question is, am I a worshiper? And remember this, that if God gets me as a worshiper, God is going to get me as a servant. All right, my brother.
All the privilege that we enjoy are coming around thy word this morning. And again, seeing, Father, in thy precious work, the proof of worship, and how, Father, you desire us, the worship of our hearts and our lives. Lord, this, we realize this morning is not a time just on the Lord's day, but worship every moment and every step of our life. We let it rain before thee, the worship of our God. Father, we pray this morning that you'll make us worshiping people. People who are thankful for what you've done for us. People, Father, who love thee because you first loved us. And sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die in our sin. May we be drawn to you, Lord. May we see him afresh each day. May we know, Father, what it means to be conformed to his likeness. Draw us unto him. We thank thee again for this time this morning, and for our brother who ministered to us in our way through. We thank thee in his precious name.
Amen. Meeting is up.